Our lesson today in Bible Survey deals with the promises through prophecy. I would like to go back, and you remember from last week we talked about the new covenant that God had established with Israel, and I want to point out to you again that this new covenant or promise that God had made did not negate the promise that he had made to Adam or to Abraham or to David. You know that Adam's promise was fulfilled in Christ. Jesus was of the seed of the woman whom Satan had deceived. He bruised Satan's head and was bruised in the heel in the process of doing so, which is a nice way to say that he destroyed Satan's work but was crucified in the process. God's promise of land for Abraham's seed and their being in the land was fulfilled. God's promise to David of one of his seeds ruling Israel was still only a dream. At this point, both the northern tribes of Israel and the southern tribes of Judah were in captivities. Their enemies possessed the land that God had given to them. And in this very dark hour of Judah's history, the angel Gabriel comes to Daniel, one of the Jewish men carried off into that Babylonian captivity, and he reveals to Daniel what God's plan was. And in Daniel chapter 9, verses 20 through 27, it says, "And while I was speaking and praying," and this is Daniel speaking here, "and confessing my sins and the sins of my people Israel, and presenting my supplications before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision in the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touch me about the time of the evening sacrifice. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sin and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the Most High. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem unto Messiah and Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the walls even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abomination he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate." Now, in verse 24, Daniel was told that there were 70 weeks left till God finished with Israel's sin, and the Most Holy is anointed. Jesus will come and reign upon David's throne at the end of this 70th week. Now, I wanted Daniel to understand that from the time of the commandments to restore Jerusalem unto the coming of the Messiah the Prince will be 7 weeks plus 62. Now, we know a score is 20 weeks, so 62 is 60 plus 2 is 62, and then we have the 7 weeks. So if you take the 7 weeks plus the 62 weeks, then that gives us 69 of those 70th weeks. So at the end of the 69th week, the Messiah will be put to death or cut off in the city with the sanctuary, will be destroyed, and from that time onward, there will be desolation. So 69 of these weeks are accounted for when Messiah is cut off. So this only leaves us that final or 70th week. And here we're told that the prince responsible for the death of the Messiah will come. And he is going to make a covenant in that 70th week. But in the midst of that week, or 3.5 days, which is actually 3.5 years, because each one of those days represent a day, that he will make the sacrifice to cease. So at this point, we are waiting for that 70th week to begin. But for that 70th week to begin, we know that we must have the temple, because only when there is a temple will the sacrifice once again be reinstituted. Now, the temple was destroyed in A.D. 70, and it says that Jerusalem from that time is going to be trodden down until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Now, it's interesting to note that the Jews, you remember in about 538, they were driven into their captivity, and from that time on, the Jews have been a nation without a land. And when the Jews are not in the land, and when they are not obedient, then that clock stops, and then the clock stopped 1 week short. But we see God at this point beginning to prime that clock, because now for the first time in 2,500 Jews, the Jews are now back in their own homeland. And perhaps that 70th week is going to come upon us very, very quickly. Now, the reason that God stopped the clock for some 1,900 years is that God wanted to do what he promised in that new covenant to make Abraham's seed a blessing to the whole world. And you remember we looked at a passage in Romans 11 last week, which we're going to look at again to remind you here in verse 25 through 27. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sin. Now this blindness that has come to Israel because of their sin and rebellion, but it is a part of God's plan so that he can draw the Gentiles to himself during this period of time. But as God draws them, all the nations of the earth are being blessed. And you remember that for many years only the Jews were being blessed, because God was concentrating his time and attention. But God will return one day, because that time of the Gentiles is going to be fulfilled, and he will turn his attention back to the Jews, and they are going to receive Jesus as their Messiah, and he will deliver them and turn their hearts once again to God. And then in verse 27, the verses remind us again of God's covenant with his people, a covenant which he has not forgotten, but at this point has turned his back upon them because of their sin and their rejection, that the Gentiles might be brought in. Now, Jesus, during his lifetime, prophesied, and we need to look very carefully at what Jesus says in relationship to this whole thing of prophecy and the promises being fulfilled. Jesus said, as he came out of that temple, and they were standing out, this is in Matthew chapter 23, and he said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stone them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. When Jesus came, he wanted to draw the Jews to himself, but the Jewish leaders and the people rejected him. So Jesus departed, and their house was left to them desolate. And Jesus said when they saw him again, they would say, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." Now, as Jesus departed from the temple with his disciples, he told them that not one stone would be left standing upon another. And you remember in A.D. 70, that temple was destroyed. It was filled with gold that lined the walls, and it melted and went down between the these great blocks that the temple was constructed of. And consequently, when they came to sack that temple for its gold, they pried those blocks apart, and that one was left standing on the other. Jesus goes on in chapter 24, and he tells and describes to the disciples the general events which would take place prior to his coming. In verse 4, he says, "Many will be deceived." In verse 5, he says, "Men will come saying, 'I am Christ.'" In verse 6, he said there will be wars and rumors of wars. In 7, he said there were going to be famines and pestilence and earthquakes. In 9, he said that his followers would be delivered up and afflicted. In verse 10, there will be betrayals and hatred of one another. In verse, that was verse 10. In verse 12, iniquities will abound. The love of many shall wax cold. And then in verse 14, he says that the gospel shall preach in all the nations of the world, and then shall the end come. But then he goes on in verse 15, and he says, "When you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel standing in the holy place." Now, as we look from verse 4 down through verse 13, and look at the general events that Jesus describes, we recognize very quickly that we, in fact, live in those days. Many are deceived. Many are saying, "I am Christ." There are wars and rumors of wars, famine, pestilence, earthquakes, and all the rest. There are only two things in that list that are not a reality at this point. First of all, the gospel has not been preached in all the nations. And he said that must come first, and then will the end come. And then secondly, he says that when you see the abomination of desolation prophesied by Daniel, then know that the end, again, is very quick. In the 70th week, the prince of Israel will make a covenant with Israel and will cause the sacrifice to cease. This is when the abomination will take place. You remember from Daniel that this will take place halfway through the week. In Luke chapter 21 and verse 24, it says that Jerusalem will be trodden down by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Now, we've seen Jerusalem, which has been trodden down by the Gentiles for almost 2,000 years. Yet in 1948, when the Middle East was repartitioned, Israel, for the first time in over 2,500 years, was given back a portion of that land that God had promised to Abraham, and the Israel of Israel once again became a nation. So in this 70th week, we'll see the time of the Gentiles fulfilled, and perhaps we're living in this time where Jerusalem is now coming back into existence, and God is ready to begin doing what is upon his heart in drawing the Jews back to himself. Now, in the 70th week, at the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled, the 70th week will begin, and halfway through it, we know that there's going to be this alliance that's going to be made at the very beginning. It'll be broken, and the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel will take place halfway through, and then at the end of that, Christ will return the second time to set up his millennial reign. Now, the next great event on this prophetic calendar of events has to do with the rapture, and we're told about the rapture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, where it says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the air, in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Now this talks about the Lord coming back prior to his second return. Zechariah prophesied that his feet will touch the mountain and it will split in two. But this passage did not mention his feet touching the earth. Here it says, "We will be caught up to meet him in the air." Now there is a disagreement among scholars to just exactly when this is going to take place. Some think it will take place at the very beginning of that 70th week, and the believers are going to be raptured out, and then the 7 years of great trial and tribulation are going to take place, and then halfway through is when the abomination of desolation will take place. But then at the end of that, Christ will come back the second time, and he will set up his millennial reign. Now, some think that it'll happen at the beginning. Some think the rapture is going to happen midway through, and others think that it will not happen until the very end, but that the believers will go through the tribulation. And whichever position you take, you'll find a lot of good scholars who will be standing in that same position with you. And I am not advocating in this course one or the other. I think that you need to recognize that there is some disagreement exactly when that's going to take place, but the fact that it is going to take place, scholars are agreed, and the scriptures very clearly teach about the rapture. And then the great tribulation. Jesus also tells us in Matthew chapter 24, verses 21 and 22, that there will be a great tribulation. And he says, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be, except these days should be shortened. There should be no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake these days shall be shortened." And in Revelations chapter 6 through verse 19, spell out in great detail what is going to happen during the 70th week, when this great trial and tribulation is going to take place. And then there comes that second coming of Christ. You remember when Jesus departed the first time, the angels came and said, "You men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing about? The same Jesus who was taken from you will also come in a like manner." And so Jesus is going to come back. He talked about that in John chapter 14, where he says, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also." So at the end of that 70th week, Jesus will return the second time and reign for 1,000 years upon the earth. At that time, we'll see the elements of Abraham's promise come to life. The lamb, the seed, the blessing, and the great nation will all become a reality. Every promise will be fulfilled. This event is described for us in Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 15. At this time, Jesus will rule in the land that God gave to Abraham. He will sit on David's throne, and there will be peace on the earth, and the Jews will be in the land that God gave to them. And then in Revelation chapter 20, also talks about the great white throne judgment, and only those whose names, which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, then will be with him forever. Revelation chapter 21 and 22 deals with the new heaven and the new earth that God is going to establish for his people. And so this kind of gives us an overview of this prophetic calendar of events which are yet in front of us. Now, in concluding all of this, we can come back and you can take the Bible and you recognize that in Genesis chapter 1 through 12, this basically is talking to the people existing during that time, and they, of course, would be Gentiles since they were not Jews. In Genesis chapter 12, God raises up a man by the name of Abraham, and he becomes the father of this Jewish race. And from Genesis chapter 12 until Acts chapter 3, this all deals with God's dealings with the Jews. But then from Acts 3 until Revelation chapter 5, the gospel is given, and it is to go out to the ends of the earth, and this is primarily an expansion of the gospel into the Gentile world. And then in Revelation chapter 5 through verse 19, it deals with the great tribulation which is going to come. And then in Revelation chapter 20 through 22, it deals with the establishing of God's new kingdom. So this very quickly gives us a overview of the events which are going to take place in dealing with the promises that come through prophecy.